You're listening to Love and Revolution Radio, covering the heart of change and changes of the heart, featuring stories of ordinary, extraordinary people who are waging struggles for love and revolution.
This week on Love and Revolution Radio, we speak with a group of women from Echo Valley Farm in northern Wisconsin about what it means to be a woman in a changing world and what it means to bring the feminine energy into the work of making change in a world that is desperately crying out for kindness, compassion, love, and respect.
I know we all carry the possibility of peace, and I think now more than ever, each voice of peace, in whatever way it's spoken, in whatever way it's manifest, needs to come out. It needs to be heard. We need to hear one another. We need to see one another.
This is Sherry Mitchell welcoming you to Love and Revolution Radio. Rivera and I are coming to you from a new location in Ontario, Wisconsin at Echo Valley Farm. And we're joined here by a group of incredible women that have some wisdom to share with you all today. And as always, I'm joined by my Illuminous Goddess co-host, Miss Rivera Sun. Hello, Rivera.
Hi, Sherry, and this is a different kind of recording. Our listeners today can hear the cicadas in the background, the crickets, because we're in the beautiful Driftless of Wisconsin, where the rest of the natural world comes down to meet us at our doorstep and lives and breathes within our bodies in very tangible ways. It's an honor to be here. We've had a weekend of amazing conversation, and we thought that this week on Love and Revolution Radio, what we would do is help to bring some of these beautiful voices to your ears, listeners, to kind of invite you a little bit into a taste of the world that we're walking in, and to give you a taste of a flavor that might be familiar to your world and might be very different. So this is something we always try to do on the show. We try to bring another way of being into the world through the radio, through the airwaves, and we're glad to bring this to you today. We just want to open the conversation with a very simple invitation to let these amazing women share what's on their hearts, something that they would like to have people hear, people like you listeners, and just to let what's in their heart perhaps settle in your heart today. I'll just turn it over to Aziza to offer the first comments.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing yourselves with us and spending this weekend. It has been a fantastic weekend. And much conversation about transformation and those things that we need to do in order to make sure that transformation happens not only within ourselves but for our communities, and those things that we need to do in order to make sure that that happens. And what I'd like to just kind of remind all of your listeners too is that we all have that responsibility. And not only do we have that responsibility, but I believe wholeheartedly that that time is now and that we are the people, because we're the ones that's here. We know what needs to be done, and we know how to do it. We just have to connect with that inner self, that spirit that leads us each and every day, to find out what it is that we need to do as an individual in order to share that with other people around us.
That's really beautiful, Aziza, and it reminds me, one of the elders that I work with, Orville Looking Horse, says that we are not here by accident.
Absolutely.
That we were born into this time to be here at this time for a purpose. And So, you know, we are the people that are here right now. We are the ones who have been sent to meet this crisis, to meet these challenges.
Yes.
And it's important for us to show up to do so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful for the time that we've been able to spend here this weekend talking about these things and being able to bring some of this wisdom to our listeners who didn't have the opportunity to be here with us but can be here with us in this way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Kinley, would you like to share something with our listeners?
I would. Just recently, I have come to realize that the answers that we're looking for peace within ourselves or peace in our communities or just even on a larger scale, peace in our society, we have those answers inside of us. And I've come to realize that it's not a hopeless feat. There's not some formula. There's not an equation. The answers to what would help and would help us progress into a more sustainable and reliable future, we know. And it's just a matter of unlearning and rerooting and getting back to that untouched place in us that has all those answers. And I really do think that it's just being a human being again, not being this label or being in this city or being this way. It is being human, and I think that the workings of society would follow with that, and knowing that and coming to realize that here at Echo Valley has just been so relieving, and I have so much hope, and I came here so sad, and now it's just, I really, really know where to look inside of myself for answers and not in a book or a website or a blog, and I think that was super awesome.
That's great, man. For those of our listeners who didn't get to catch the episode with Dina Eccles, who is one of the founders of Echo Valley Farm, let's just let you know that Echo Valley Farm is a beautiful farm situated, as we said, in the Driftless, but it's a community as well. Sometimes we talk about family farms, but this is a community farm. And they not only grow vegetables and herbs and caretake for many, many animals, ducks and goats and sheep and chickens and guinea hens and even a beautiful donkey called Beauty. They also caretake for people's hearts and souls by inviting them to come and open to experiences like the one we've had this weekend. We are sitting right now in an incredible yurt that is perched up on top of a hill in a 100-year-old apple orchard. And rather than saying that this is a place just for a few very special people who happen to get to own land, they've opened this place as a place for many people to come and have a chance to open themselves as well and to experience new things. So I wonder, Holly, if you would like to say anything about this, since you are one of the permanent residents here.
Yeah, I'm incredibly grateful to be here, be part of Echo Valley, and to be alive on the planet at this time because there's so much going on, and taking time to discover who I am and figure out what I have to add to the community and to society. It's a very nurturing, caring group of people that live here and that come here to participate in various activities or just stop by, you know, for the afternoon. You know, taking the time to get to know myself and like Kinley said, you know, figuring out that the peace that I've been searching for all of my life, the answers are actually inside of me, and having the space to discover and nurture the possibilities. So I'm just very grateful.
I think that what's most beautiful about this place for me is the incredible welcome that everyone receives. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you believe, what you look like. Everyone here is very welcomed and embraced and made to feel loved and cared for here. And that's kind of been the foundation of our weekend here, is everyone being welcomed in. It's a microcosmic view of what we need to do on a macrocosmic level. And if we could replicate what has happened here this weekend, what happens when people come together with an open heart, with an open mind, and with open arms, we would be accelerating the healing of the world incredibly. And so I was wondering, Ryan, if you would like to say a few things about your experience here at the farm with us this weekend.
I grew up here, and I lived here for 5 years. Being here this weekend it's been amazing because it just goes to it just goes to show that you can still learn from the same place even if you've been here for a very long time. And just keep walking. The good will follow. Don't look back.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
I'm going to introduce Mariam and her daughter, Catalina. They are coming from Colombia to bring this message, so we're going to hear it in Spanish, and then Catalina's going to translate it. And what a great gift to get some of this on the radio so that we can listen in another language. We've been speaking a lot about that this weekend, about how even those of us who speak English to one another sometimes need to listen a little bit more deeply, as if we're talking a different language. And I'm sure there are many of our listeners, including myself, who have had that experience of looking at someone and who's speaking their same English and wondering if they're actually speaking a different language. And so being around these two beautiful women has been a reminder of that way of listening again, of listening more deeply and listening with the heart as well, so that you can understand across the barriers, whether it's a language barrier, whether it's an ideological barrier, to try to find real human-to-human understanding. So welcome, Mariam and Catalina, to Love and Revolution Radio.
Gracias. Estamos visitando este país tan complejo y tan hermoso, y estamos teniendo la experiencia de visitar Eco Valley. Es un espacio maravilloso donde podemos estar en la naturaleza con personas maravillosas que tienen historias maravillosas y que tienen una visión para hoy y para el futuro de cómo es importante cuidar la naturaleza para que las futuras generaciones tengan una visión de que el mundo tiene espacios donde pueden poner su mente más tranquila, no como no solamente el mundo actual de mucha confusión. Aquí tenemos posibilidad de estar entre los árboles, entre los animales, de caminar, de tener experiencia con las diferentes personas de otras partes, y las experiencias de compartir historias. Yo propongo a las personas que nos escuchen que bienvenidos. Es importante tener la experiencia de conocer el país desde otro nivel, y ese nivel se llama Eco Valley.
Bueno, pues creo que no tengo mucho que decir, ya todas han hablado y han contado su experiencia, pero definitivamente uno no puede dejar de venir a Estados Unidos sin venir a Eco Valley. Es una experiencia muy enriquecedora, y conocer a cada una de las personas que trabajan aquí, que viven aquí, no es un sitio simplemente para que cuidan a los animales y tienen plantas, sino también es una experiencia personal para crecer individualmente, de compartir y transmitir tantas cosas lindas con otras personas. Es una comunidad muy bonita y muy acogedora que tiene las experiencias más importantes para poder continuar con nuestra vida, y es increíble. Y gracias a cada una por habernos brindado el espacio y por habernos recibido y compartido con nosotros.
Do you want to try to summarize some of that in English for some of the listeners?
Okay, thank you for all people we can know here. to Dina and the team. Yeah. It's a wonderful place. Only can say thank you for all and every people we can to be here, and it's amazing, this experience. It's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, now we have the opportunity to hear from the woman who pulled us all to this space on the map, Miss Dina Eccles, who is, as Rivera said, one of the founders of Echo Valley Farm and has been a guest on our show before and has graciously invited us to come here and to open up this space for these discussions about how do we move forward, what do we carry with us as we move forward, what are our responsibilities and our obligations, and also what is it that we need to cultivate within ourselves in order to be able to bring the fullness of who we are to the work that we do. So, Dina, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing the show here. Yes. I think that we all carry these potentials. I know we all carry the possibility of peace. And I think now more than ever, each voice of peace, in whatever way it's spoken, in whatever way it's manifest, needs to come out. It needs to be heard. We need to hear one another. We need to see one another. It doesn't matter. Yes, Echo Valley is unique in a certain regard and very special, but wherever we live and walk on the earth and hold this possibility is special and unique and sacred. And we should never let any doubt come in for that. I believe that with everything in me. I know that a lot of people right now are very afraid, and they speak of their fear very generously. And it's starting to consume us and distract us. But at the same time, when you step away and you see the stars, or you step away and you have a good meal, or you just step away into your heart, you take those quiet moments, you see there's something else so much bigger, so much greater that's happening. And it's time for us as human beings to take back the narrative. We don't have to change the narrative, just take it back. It's time. And I think it's really what we all want. So when we look into each other's eyes, to reaffirm that, whoever we are. And yeah, it's a gift to be here. We had these four young men from Taiwan last week, and now all of you, and Sammy Rizzulli, the founder of the Muslim Peacemakers from Iraq, who will be here later today. This is the way life should be, you know, this ongoing feast, a movable feast. So celebrate. Celebrate. It's our turn.
Kinley, let's go back to you for a second. And I was wondering, we've been talking a little bit this weekend about some of the people who are your age or on the younger end of the spectrum. And I was wondering if you'd like to send a message over the airwaves to anyone who's in your end of the age spectrum, just what you think they might need to hear or enjoy hearing or appreciate hearing at this moment.
So I know right now all of the hype for progression and for a new way of being and almost 60s revival coming back, it's only happening in the West. And I'm from Illinois, and I just want to say that it doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to be in the cities or in these very special places. While great things are happening here, the change that you want to see can happen wherever. And I think that it takes a lot of courage in order to make that happen, to step out of the traditional ways that the classes before us have done. I mean, I saw everyone graduate before me, pretty much everyone. They went to work, and then they went to college to get their job, and then Lord knows what. But there are different ways and more alternative ways to do it, and in doing that, there is such an abundance of knowledge And it all just comes from taking a different door, just opening a different door. And you can do that wherever you are. Like woofing, I think woof is an amazing opportunity for people our age because there is no age limit. I mean, if you're under 18, I guess you have to be accompanied by an adult. But it is such a perfect way. I mean, I say all the time, at Echo Valley, it's almost a free college. The amount of knowledge that I've just learned and grasped here, and you know, it's knowledge that no one's going to take back, and I'm doing it for free. And so, I know that it seems like there's only one really way to be an alternative way right now, but it can be wherever you are, and all it takes is just thinking outside of this box that pretty much we're just categorized in right now. And we don't have to wait for anyone older to set the path for us. We don't have to do it the same way that it was done in the 60s. We are in such a special time right now. And it just really is going to come from us, again, rerooting, unlearning, and taking a different way than what is expected. And I think there's great wisdom and great knowledge in doing that. So yeah, definitely do it. Definitely do it. If you have doubts or fears about what everyone else is going to say, it's hard. It's really hard, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. So.
And woofing is willing worldwide workers on organic farms?
Yeah, worldwide opportunities on organic farms.
Ah.
Yeah. So you can go to Woof USA and create a membership, pay a fee for it, and you get a directory of organic farms all over the country. And they also have Woof International, and that is connecting you to organic farms across the whole world. So honestly, like how Dina was saying, the boys from Taiwan, I mean, they were here through a project like Woof. So many doors open once you just realize that you can go anywhere and you can learn so much outside of college and for like nothing even close to the cost.
I think that's a really great point. And you know, when I was looking at college, I was a poor farm kid, and my sister actually went woofing on a farm in New Zealand for a while, and then one in California. And my choice was between going and being an apprentice with a spinner or weaver, or going to college. And they ended up offering almost a full scholarship, so I chose to go to college. But I think it's an important discussion for us to be having at this time when people are strapped with student debt, when the cost of going to school is rising higher and higher, and the jobs that coming out of college are not necessarily the same as the degrees that we're following and pursuing. We're looking at a time when things are changing rapidly and dramatically. And I think that our scope of possibilities needs to keep up with that sort of change, that we need to be a little bit bold and, as you said, courageous in seeking out answers to the questions that are brewing in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been joined by Lauren, who is a radiant being, like so many people here at Echo Valley. She's also one of the permanent or long-term residents of the farm, and does a lot of the care of the food here, of feeding many people at a time. She fed all the people who were here this weekend, and does an amazing job of not just honoring people's needs in the food realms, but also incorporating their ability to participate in the making and the sharing of food as people preparing food, doing dishes. This is a very organic and amazing way that you go about doing this thing called food that all of us do every day fairly mindlessly, but the way we do it here at Echo Valley Farm calls us to be present with it and to be grateful for the beauty of the food, to really honor that these are beings, they're plants or they're animals that are coming into our bodies, and that we have a responsibility to that transformation, to take that energy and put it back out into the world in a way that honors the fact that something had to transform to become us, and how are our thoughts, our energies, our words going to transform as they reach someone else. So what's in your heart right now, Lauren? What would you like to share?
Well,
Now I'm thinking a lot about food, which is not unusual at all for me. I think it's a great topic. I love sharing food with people, and I love cooking for people, but mostly I love cooking with people. I have no desire to work in a restaurant where, you know, it's my job to just serve. You know, I like when people can participate together and learn from one another. This weekend, I knew that it would be really fun to make tamales with a group of women because it's a very time-consuming thing. It's not something one person wants to do alone. And the end result is delicious. So it was really beautiful watching it unfold for me. And one of the things that I was thinking about while we were doing it was the timing of things and the natural unfolding of things, because it's very difficult to stick to a schedule when you're cooking. And if you can allow yourself to go with that, the way it can unfold is really beautiful, which is what happened last night. It was a late night. We ate late, but we ended up getting to see the stars while we were eating outside, and it was beautiful. I enjoyed every piece that everyone added. We had people from different parts of South America contributing their recipes. You know, everyone makes tamales a little bit different. Everyone cooks corn a little bit different, so that was really fun to see.
It was very beautiful to see. We have some children here as well, two little boys and their family, and then we have everything up in the age spectrum to elders who are here, and to see us build a fire together, light a fire, and actually cook the meal right there on the fire as everyone's gathered around is an experience that's quite rare today in the modern world of the United States, especially beyond your immediate family. I mean, some of us have done this around, say, a barbecue, right? Mm-hmm. But to do this with a community of people, some of whom you've just met, some of whom have long-term, 30-year-long relationships to one another, there's a grace to that and a beauty to that. And it's really something, like Kinley was saying, about we're being asked to find our way forward in these times, and there is no roadmap exactly. And so it takes a bit of a special brand of courage, getting outside the box that we've been told to live in and being willing to experience something new. And I feel like that's a lot of what the invitation is here at Echo Valley Farm, that you who live here are holding open the invitation to people to come and experience another way of life. Many of the cabins here are off-grid. There are composting toilets. There are solar panels that run the electricity for several of the cabins. There's rainwater collection. And all of this is part of the learning that's going on. So someone may be coming to a women's retreat, but they're also learning all these other elements of how we can live differently on this earth. It's a very beautiful thing. It's a modeling. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up on the East Coast, where children used to get bused down to the Plymouth Plantation and Sturbridge Village to see reenactments of how colonial Americans used to live, with the blacksmithing and the spinning and the weaving and this, that, and the other thing. And in some ways, by modeling this change that we want to see in the world today, you're not a reenactment, you're the real deal. But people can come and experience it rather than just learning about it in a book or reading about it in an article. And they can feel for themselves what this is. And we'll be back after a quick break for a station ID.
Thank you.
And now, let's return to our program.
I was wondering if I could ask you just a little bit about these times that we're in, these times of great change, and some of what you've learned on your journey to come here to this farm and live in this way that might be helpful for the people who have not made that journey. And not everyone's journey is going to be to a farm in these times of change. Some people's journeys are going to be very urbanized, they're going to be very different, but there's something that we share in common about having to acknowledge that our planet is in serious trouble, that our economy and societies are in serious trouble, and that we ourselves in our own personal economies, many times out there in the world, we're coming up against walls. We're not sure how we're going to make ends meet. We're not sure how this system that we're a part of is going to actually meet the needs of our family or the needs of our heart and soul. And I think each of you had a story and a journey about getting from a place or a moment like that, a questing, a searching, to come here to Echo Valley. And I'm wondering if you'd like to share just a little bit about that process that might be helpful for someone else who might be listening today.
Well, I did not grow up in this sort of environment that's here at Echo Valley. I grew up in Cincinnati, in the middle of the city. My family is very conventional. You know, we ate a lot of really crappy food. We watched a lot of TV. And I think that, to a certain degree, there was a lack of happiness and fulfillment in my family members' lives. And I always felt like there could be more, that life had more to offer. But there was no one teaching me that, really. And like Kinley, I thought the West Coast was the place to be. I was like, oh yeah, that's like where people are really conscious. So that's where I went. I went to Portland and lived there for a while. And that was a very good experience for me, but I realized after being there that what I was looking for was deeper inside of myself, and that moving to Portland, where people are really hip and are thinking differently, was not the answer. And so I traveled. I joined WWF, and I traveled. Echo Valley was the first farm that I came to, and I loved it as soon as I arrived. And I loved it because people were communicating with each other very differently than I had ever seen before. Very honestly, people here are very grounded because we're outside and we're working and we're doing very practical things. Like you said, we're not, you know, just reading about it or reenacting. There's very real life things happening here all the time. And that, it's completely changed my life.
Thank you for that story, Lauren. And thank you for sharing that journey. I think there's probably many of our listeners who are sitting there in their own lives, nodding along, thinking there's some parallel in there for them about the journey they've either been on or the journey their heart's kind of yearning for. And I like that you point out that it doesn't all look all the same for all of us. That some people, Portland is it. They're there. They're listening right now. Hello to our Portland listeners. I know you're out there. But that we each are on a journey to find a more authentic and meaningful and fulfilling way of life. That's a very common theme for a lot of Americans right now, because we often can sense that the system that we have isn't working, especially for the things that are deep down inside of us, those deep human values, that deep need for meaning and purpose. There's a lot of what's going on in our world that isn't geared at fulfilling that very well. And I think it's actually very hopeful that more and more people around this country and around the world are saying, wait a minute, these things matter to us. Meaning and purpose matter to this thing, this beautiful, exquisite, crazy creature called the human being. And if our lives are not constructed in ways that give that to us, that help us fulfill that, help us explore that, then we need to reconfigure how we're doing this thing called life. We're just joined by another young woman named Liz, who lives here in Wisconsin, in Madison. works in the field of peace and social justice. And I'd like to turn the mic around to her and just ask her what's stirring in her heart right now.
I'm definitely in this moment feeling like very moved by being in this space. The question, just like what's stirring in me, feels really appropriate because I feel a lot of stirring and a lot of like settling back into myself and like being welcome in this space, both by like the land itself and being able to be out in the open and hear the birds and like be in natural surroundings with a circle of amazing and beautiful women speaking their truths. I feel really moved and like honored to be here right now. Not sure what else to say in this moment, but.
Well, I think that's a feeling that we have, that we come to this beautiful place, and Echo Valley is a bowl. I mean, that's the symbol and the emblem of the farm, is this beautiful, great, big bowl of a valley that takes us in and holds us, and us is just, you're here, you're held, you're loved, you're worthwhile, you're a precious human being. Now what would you like to do? Now that we've got that mm-hmm. base platform squared away here, now what is stirring in you? Now what is brewing in you? I want to ask you, Liz, in your work in social justice out there in the world, what are some of the things that you're feeling in your experience here on the farm that you wish you could pass on, like a little whisper in people's yeah. ears as they're asleep at night between this protest and the next protest or the boycott they're organizing? Like, what might be something that you're experiencing that you think more of us who work in the field, as I do, in social justice, might really appreciate?
The first thing that comes to mind of something, a feeling that I'd like to share is like a feeling of ease and ease and connection, like knowing that we're not alone and that like the work that you're doing like is impacting the work that I'm doing, and it's like all of us together, like even if we don't know each other or even know what's going on out there, it's like there's so much happening, and there's something about like the pace of like capitalism like driving this like inhuman pace and like reclaiming like who we are as humans, and like that connection actually matters, and that like being choiceful. And like last night we were talking about consent and like getting to be give consent to what it is that we want to see more of, and actually like withdraw our consent from the things that we see as unjust or that we really are dehumanizing and that pull us away from the earth and in connection with each other.
Would anyone else like to add to that comment? Any other thoughts that when you look around the field of people working for change, things that have helped you that you think might help someone else that you might want to offer to any of the listeners today?
So yesterday when we were sitting in circle, we were talking about how our personal transformation is affecting the transformation that we are putting externally. And it was said that it isn't about crumbling the pillars that are holding up a social problem. And this really stuck to me, and I keep bringing it up. It's about creating and co-creating and using our abilities to create a new future that once we're at that tipping point, you know, once we realize that it's not working for us anymore, that we have something that we can fall into. And it really does take getting in touch with that untouched part of you that has the answers to really co-create something beautiful that the future generations and hopefully that we can tip into, like a big, like a bouncy, like ball pit, you know, like that we can just fall into that's beautiful and sustainable and helpful to us and everything just in the earth. And I think that was really, really awesome because, you know, we're always pushing, stop this. But I think we can do like, let's create this. And I think that's really empowering.
Yeah, those activating those two hands of nonviolence, the hand that opposes and the hand that proposes, the hand that constructs versus the hand that obstructs, the hand that says no to injustice versus the hand that says yes to justice, and that this becomes a beautiful dance that we all are so capable of doing as human beings, and that really underlies how we create anything in our world, whether it's involved in social justice or it's a business or it's our family. One of the stories that Sherry and I like, or Sherry especially, likes to tell is about her children and about how parents and their children also do this dance. Not just from the parent to the child. Like, I often think about the 2-year-old throwing a tantrum. But Sherry reminded our listeners one day, not so long ago, about the converse. When a child says no to the parent, or says yes to this in what we're exploring. That these dynamics that we talk about in terms of nonviolent action or social change are actually the very dynamics of how we relate to one another, how we can create things in the world, how the ecosystems work together, and that these are very fundamental ideas.
We have two other individuals who have participated in this weekend's event with us here at Echo Valley, and we'd like to have them offer you a few words based on their experience here this weekend of what they feel they're going to carry from this weekend back out into the world. Jan, would you like to share a few thoughts with us?
Sure. I spoke in Circle about the transformative nature of this weekend, personally, for me. Transformation is sometimes nothing more than affirmation and coming back to a point in ourselves and being able to work from our own hearts, our own authenticity. So that's what happened for me amongst some really delightful, strong, clear women. And that affirmation was around my femininity. I shared that I have spent, as we all have, much of my life totally immersed in patriarchy and have spent a lot of time trying to free myself from that. And what that means has gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. I think the one thing that I went from believing and sort of understanding with my mind to really knowing in that transformative way this weekend was the power of the feminine. Part of the patriarchy not only tells us that we have to live in that way, but that every other way needs to be diminished. Every other way really has very little value, and there's no use really spending any time with it. This is not true. You know, if I wanted to say something to everyone who's out there, I would say to you, please understand the inspiration of the small. Please understand the power of a simple feminine act. I don't mean girly, I mean feminine. You know, the power of kindness, the power of the right word at the right time, the power of believing in someone, the power of giving somebody an opportunity to speak and listening. These are incredibly powerful. I consider these to be feminine acts, the act of believing in someone, of listening. You know, every one of these things can be transformative for another individual. It's what makes us human to do those things. And I think that it acknowledges the human in someone else when we do them. And I really came to a very strong knowing about that. I mean, I clearly over the last week or so had been kind of preparing for it or was being prepared for it. So I feel entirely grateful to have this gift kind of placed in my lap this weekend. And so I'm going to continue to do what I do. That's my strength. I'm very good at that. You know, of one-to-one, going to a person, listening to them, understanding what simple thing needs to be said or to be done. So I will continue to do that. I'm in a place that has been created for me and everyone else to come together and to continue to do that and to let it grow. So that's what I'm going to take out of it, and hopefully I'll pass it on.
Well, I think you already have. Using the radio as one of the vehicles for reaching other people with that message.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's really beautiful to think about being empowered to step into kindness. That we so often find that society equates kindness with weakness. And, you know, nurturing, comforting, loving acts as somehow being a demonstration of somebody's weakness, or a comforting acknowledgement of somebody else's weakness if you're providing them with that comfort. And in truth, that's authentic strength, that ability to be able to show up in a loving, nurturing way, to be kind, to allow space for people to emerge fully as themselves, which is what we need in the world. And I think that we've seen such a beautiful example of that here this weekend, where we opened up space for everyone to emerge as they were and to find something within themselves that they maybe had been holding back a little bit, that they were able to give expression to here, and to find out that it was okay, that it was accepted, that it was appreciated, that it was valued. There's so much of who we are that we don't share because of the diminishment that has been caused by this single-line, patriarchal, aggressive, kind of brutish strength that's been infused into all of our societies. And so to be able to stand firmly in that feminine power, to be able to bring elements of the feminine into interactions with other people, is one of the most vital things that we can do in the world today. And I'd also like to invite Margaret, another resident here at Echo Valley, to share her insights and her perspectives from the weekend with you. Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thank you. Happy to be here. In order to get up to our conversation circle, we walked up the hill from the main farm, which is a farm road, like a field road winding, winds up the hill and around some curves through the trees. And we didn't talk. We just walked. The group diverged. I don't know, we had, what, maybe 20 of us. Some went down one path and some stayed on the road. And as I walked up there without talking, which isn't always so easy for me, I thought about how doing that gets us out of our head brain. It's not really all in our head. It's all through our body. Out of our head brain and into our heart brain, maybe even our belly brain, and we can connect on a different level. And as the group had diverged, also it came back together. We came back together at the end, which reminded me that a lot of us in the world, nearly all of us, are headed for the same or similar goals, but we choose different ways to get there. I think it's important to recognize that in our fellow human beings. We might not be the same, but we're very similar. We're much more similar than we are different. And when I got up there in the group and everyone was sharing what they had taken from it, I thought more about heart thought, heart energy. I've been working on that, on getting out of my brain and into my heart, more in touch with feelings and emotions. And I believe that that heart energy is truly what the feminine energy is. I don't like to call it power, really. I like to call it energy. If we can learn to listen more to our hearts and less to our heads, we might find ourselves in a different, having a different perspective on life and the world and our fellow creatures and trees and rocks and all that. And so one of the things I decided to do to get it out into the world is to get my young granddaughter, she's coming to visit anyway, preteen granddaughter, to walk this walk in beauty up the hill with me and a couple other people, and the daughter of a new friend who was also at this weekend, to walk up the hill without talking, which I think will be an interesting experience, not just for her, but also for me. And there were a couple other things that came up, but we can't do it all in a couple minutes. So that's what I have to say about taking away from this into the greater world. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. And what Margaret is talking about is A Walk in Beauty, which was the name of the conference, the workshop, the gathering that we have participated in this weekend. Being mindful of the way that we walk upon the earth, the way that we walk with one another, and being conscious of every step that we take is part of our walk in beauty in this lifetime. And we encourage you all to think about those things. Think about how you walk on the earth. How do you walk with others? How do you respect, honor, and bear witness to the rest of creation that is witnessing you at the same time as you're taking that walk? One of the things that came out of the discussion this morning, which I really enjoyed, which is something that Jan said, was that we all have our own rhythm with this, that we all move to our own beat, so to speak, and that we can bring whatever our individual rhythm is into the walk that we're engaged in, that we don't all have to look the same, we don't all have to bring the same thing to that engagement of that walk. We can all bring something unique, something that makes sense and resonates from within us. And that's been part of the beauty of this, is the acceptance of the diversity and the difference of all of the individuals that have been here and all of the things that they have to offer one another that are unique and beautiful. So Rivera and I have had a really beautiful time here at Echo Valley Farm, and we're going to carry with us the lessons that we learned from the women that we were sharing with, because learning is never a one-way street. There is always movement going in both directions. You teach and you learn, and you learn and you teach. And that's the nature of life. And we're happy to be a part of that nature, and we're happy to be a part of that walk with one another and with all of our listeners. Would you agree?
I would. You know, one of the... you got me thinking about those lessons that we've learned and that we got to bear witness to. And one of the things about the rhythm and the different rhythms is right before we took our walk up the hill and the Walk in Beauty walk, we did a bit of drumming. And this was a drumming with 20-plus people, some of whom had drummed before, some of whom hadn't, with instruments of all types from many places around the world even. And it really was a dance of that, of everybody chooses their different rhythm, their different beat. Some people are beating just once in a long while. Some people are banging away on a cowbell. Some people are just shaking that rattle as fast as they could shake it. And some people were doing more polyrhythmic stuff as well. And it was a really beautiful embodiment of this whole concept of the rhythms that we walk in through the world. But also, here on Love and Revolution Radio, we like to talk about how we make change. And this metaphor applies to how we make change as well, that some of us are making tamales with the children, with the grandparents, and some of us are putting seeds in the ground, and some of us are the ones who are going out and saying, no, we have to stop this injustice, this destruction. And some of us are the ones who are caring for the spirits of others, opening up that space so that we can tune into that. And some of us are raising families and making changes within ourselves. But one of the things about this Walk in Beauty retreat, with all these women, and with what Jan said about the energy of the feminine, is to learn to respect the multiplicity of ways of being in the world and making change in the world, and to understand that in an ecosystem, not everybody has to be the oak tree. Somebody's got to be a grass. Somebody's got to be a Queen Anne's lace. Somebody's got to be a bumblebee. Somebody's got to be the air. Somebody's got to be the sky, the clouds, the sun. And that's the same in how we're making change, and it's the same in how we're doing life. And that right there, and even the way that we're doing this show here today on Love and Revolution Radio, that we're bringing together many voices to speak their piece of the truth, to bring their perspective. This is the part of the change that we've been exploring in the Walk in Beauty retreat, in the kind of change that we're looking for in the world, that on a very large level we're trying to move away from monopolies, huge corporatized control of things. We're looking to go local, to go diverse, to respect diversity in all of its many forms and expressions in our world, to make space for that, to make space for many voices to be heard. That's what the true democracy is really all about. And so at this time when our country is going absolutely crazy around these elections, just to take a moment to reflect that what you're hearing on Love and Revolution Radio right now is a representation of the change we want to be in the world and what we really mean when we're talking about true democracy, that we're listening to one another, we're talking, we're hearing multiple perspectives, and we're learning from one another. I need you to be love, 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 love and revolution. Love, love, love and revolution.
Thanks this week to our many guests here at Echo Valley Farm. And as always, thanks to my radiant co-host, Ms. Rivera-san. Our theme song is Love and Revolution with words and music by Diane Patterson and performed by Diane Patterson and Spirit Radio. You can find more of her great music, including her new CD, Teach, Inspire, Be Real, with the Love and Revolution theme song at www.dianepatterson.org.
And thanks to my always awesome co-host, Sherry Mitchell, whom you can follow on her Sacred Instructions Facebook page, which can be found on our podcast page and also on the Love and Revolution page on my website, www.riverasun.com. Love and Revolution Radio is a weekly radio program, and your local radio station can broadcast it. Just remember to give them a call or send them an email and ask them to. We are Love and Revolution Radio on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic.
For Love and Revolution Radio, I'm Sherry Mitchell. We've been given an incredible opportunity to contemplate the needed changes in the world, the needed changes within ourselves, to think about how we walk on the earth, the placement of our feet, our dance with one another. So, listeners, perhaps you'll take some time to reflect on your walk in the world, how you step, where you step, who you dance with, how you dance with them, and infuse some beauty into your walk before we talk to you next week. What if you knew?